I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And I want to read a verse. I want you to stand with me as I read these verses to us. It's sort of going to be the focus of our talk this morning about having one passion. And for those of you that are visiting with us, hopefully that haven't been here through the last two Sundays, that we've been talking about one heart, one mind, and today one passion. I'm going to try to sort of connect the dots for us to keep us all understanding what we're talking about. But this verse is really something that's been speaking to me this week. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given us. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day of worship. Thank you for this privilege to sing and to give, and now to listen. And we pray that you would still our hearts, that you would open our hearts. Allow us, Lord, to receive this message and this word today. And Lord, will the light shine for us today? Will you turn that light on that we can see, that we can hear what you want to say to us today? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as you've already seen, the theme is one passion. We've talked already about having one heart, having a concern for each other, a genuine concern for each other. We used a couple of illustrations from the New Testament, Acts chapter 2 and Philippians and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. The church in Acts, the early church, they were caring for each other daily. We saw the church in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, how that they were so willing to give of themselves and to give of their finances. I think that for us, we should be like an orchestra, and that we should tune each and every one of us. We should tune ourselves to Christ. And when a church experiences that, three things happen as we looked at the church in Acts and the churches of Macedonia. The people became very thankful for what they have. It was a very poor church. But then also, they became very generous. They were asking for the privilege of partnering together. They were a very generous church. And then the last step of that, of course, is the word sacrifice. They were willing to make a sacrifice. That's what happens when churches develop this sense of having one heart. Last Lord's Day, we talked about having one mind, developing one mind. We use the passage in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that whole chapter, he spells out what a one-minded person looks like. A person who has humbled themselves and become like Christ. I mentioned to you last week several differences between men and women. We focused mostly on the women. And so today, I just wanted to give you a few things that us guys, that make us guys. I mean, we're different, men and women. We think differently, but we can come together as one mind. But, you know, think about these things. Men can play with toys all their lives. That's pretty cool. Men can clean their fingernails with a pocket knife. Men can keep the same hairstyle indefinitely. I thought that was hilarious. Men can open their own jars. Men don't have to stop and think, now, which way do you turn that screw? And everything on a man's face stays its original color. Those are the things that make us men. Well, men and women are different, but we can bring our minds together, our attitudes together, to focus on the one thing. And that's what Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 2. And I use that expression, intent on one purpose. And what that says is having the same mind about something. That's my prayer for us in this campaign, that we would have and share the same mind about the direction that we're headed. And as I mentioned to you last time from Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30, that we would have bright eyes. Do you remember what bright eyes do according to Solomon? It gladdens the heart. And when you meet people that are approaching anything with bright eyes, it encourages you. It strengthens you. And so a church full of bright eyes, that's what we're praying for. Now today, my task is to present to you this theme, one passion. Having one passion as a church. The word passion is from the Latin, and this word means to suffer. Probably its earliest use was a reference to the suffering of Christ. Thus, we call it the Passion of Christ. In English, we think of the word drive. And even in Webster's definition, Webster in one of its definitions says, passion is the extreme compelling emotion or enthusiasm for an object. Do you know this starts early in our life, this drive, this passion. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, a very familiar verse to you. But Peter writes and he says these words, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. This verb, long for, it's this word that we're trying to describe to you, a longing, a passion, a drive, a craving. A baby has this kind of craving. A baby, you can say literally, suffers for milk. You moms know this, and the baby cries. You know why the baby's crying. The baby longs for you and what you can provide the baby with. James chapter 4 and verse number 5 uses this word as well. And it uses it of God. Listen to this word. Or do you not think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. God has a sense of passion and desire. The Apostle Paul uses this word longing or desire or passion 7 times. And when you read Paul's letters, you come away with feeling this is a man that had passion. Romans 1:11, he said to the Christians at Rome, I long to see you. We know that his desire was to get there. He finally did. Shipwreck along the way, which is a great story. But he longed for them. 2 Corinthians 5:2, he wrote about in that resurrection chapter about we long, our bodies long to be clothed with that body from heaven, with what God has for us. 2 Corinthians 9:14, talking of the Macedonian churches, they long for you, he said. Philippians 1:8, he said to those Christians, I long for you with affection. Chapter 2 and verse 26, Epaphroditus, he also longs for you all. 1 Thessalonians 4:6, he uses it twice, longing to see us, and we long to see you. And then in his last book, 2 Timothy 1:4, he says as his swan song, I long to see you. The Russian pastors, we didn't get to go this year to see them. But beloved, I long to see them again. And they long to have us come and to share fellowship all the way across the world. But there is a passion and a longing and a desire. That's what this word brings to my mind. Now this passion, it must be here before it can be there. And if we have not accomplished, if we have not experienced it here amongst ourselves, a passion for the work and a passion for each other, we're not going to experience it in some type of building campaign or capital campaign. We must share the same mind and the same heart and the same passion if we really are going to pull this off. Now, I've thought all week and I've asked some of you questions. What are you passionate for? What are the things that people are passionate for? Some of you are passionate enough to run 26.2 miles without stopping. That's a marathon. It takes passion. It takes drive to do that. But that's an example of exactly what I'm talking about. Do you know that it takes passion to raise children well? Sometimes the difference between moms is the degree of their passion to raise their children well. You read Proverbs 31 and you look at this Proverbs 31 woman who's just perfect in every way, the Mary Poppins of the Old Testament. But she's a real person with passion. Passion for her children. Passion for her husband. Passion for the neighbors. Passion for her name. And that is why she is included in that great chapter. People have passion in their work, which is fantastic to be an excellent employee. Sometimes I hear this. I hear a person say about work, well, if the person I'm working with, if they're not going to work hard, I'm not going to. You heard that before? Maybe you've experienced that before. That's just not passionate at all. If you're an employee, you need to be passionate about your work. I don't care what kind of work it might be. And don't ever put someone down because of their work. Work is an honor. And I'll even take it a step further. Our work is our worship. You think about it. You're on display for God. You're working for God. I don't care what type of work you're doing. We need to be passionate about it. And then, people are also passionate about sin. That's no surprise, is it? The lengths that we will go to get our fix, to get our drug, to satisfy our drive, whatever it may be, the things that men do to satisfy that, the Puritans called the evil cravings. Indeed, men have passion in their sin. And then, here's one. Passion in appearance. Let me just say this to you. I'm meddling a little bit, perhaps, but some of you young girls, boys, are obsessed with your looks. Passionate about your appearance. So passionate that you spend so much time focusing on something that's shallow and insignificant, perhaps, to your future. I wonder, sometimes our kids are passionate about being in this group or being in that group, when in reality that also is something that's shallow and insignificant. What are we passionate for? What should we be passionate for? And the answer, of course, is God. We should have a passion and a drive for God. Now, I usually don't call names. I don't like to lift anyone up. On certain times, illustrations are fitting. Marilyn Kick. I didn't know she was here last Sunday. I don't know where you are, Marilyn, with your little Paul Schaefer for mayor thing. I like that. Marilyn was here last week. Some of you don't know that. A week before that, she got beat up. I mean, we're still disciplining Bob over that, but she got in a terrible accident, and she had major surgery, and her face was broken, and her rib was, she was really beat up, and she was here last week. I asked myself that question. She was here? Why? What reason? I think she heard I was handing out $50 bills, but the real reason is that this is her church. She didn't want to miss anything. She's passionate about what's happening here and about God. Becca's here today. Becca, it must be a passion because you had surgery this week, back surgery. You're here. I don't call names out for there's some of the rest of you. If I have surgery, I'm probably going to stay home. Sorry. My buddy Dave Harrell had surgery Tuesday on his shoulder, pretty major surgery. It's up in a thing like this, and I made fun of him this week, and he's preaching today. Can you imagine him doing the gestures, you know? Why? Why would he? Why would he? He loves his church. He's passionate about what God has called him to do. So we come to this question. What are we passionate for? Do we really have a passion for Christ and His work? In this passage in Romans chapter 5, I want to point out a couple of things to you because we must ask the question, where does this passion come from? It's certainly not something that we're required to generate for ourselves. I mean, there are people whose personalities are passionate. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about having a sense, a drive, a passion, a longing for the things of God. Where does it come from? Well, according to verse 5, it appears to me that God is the one who places this in us. Look at this verse. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been what? Poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. A real Christian cannot help but love the things of God because God has poured His Spirit into us. And the Spirit of God that is poured in continues to bring that love back again and again. I mentioned to you from time to time how important that the language is, the Greek language, and that we study the Scripture and its flow of the author and the author here. The Apostle Paul, when he uses this word poured out, it's in the perfect tense. The perfect tense describes action that happened and was completed, but with continuing results. If this had been written poured out in the aorist tense, it would have just said poured out. But this is in the perfect tense. Not only do we can't really get this in English, it does say it has been poured out, but it doesn't tell you it continues. And that's what the text says. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts, within our hearts, through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I think maybe some of you, when God poured His love into you, He used a teaspoon and someone jiggled His arm. Somehow I feel that Christians don't quite possess that passion and drive for God for some reason. And could it be that we're grieving the Spirit of God, that we are quenching the Spirit of God? When I think about what's coming in 2 weeks for us, I'm all excited about my part in this campaign. I'm excited about being able to make a covenant with you, a church, a covenant with God for the next 3 years. And yet I've heard some clamor, not much, but I've heard someone say, I'm not signing anything. I'm not filling out anything. I'm not pledging anything. I'll decide as God gives it to me what I'm going to give. And that's okay. But you know what? Where's the passion and the desire and the drive as one church to come together? And the covenant. Now, I need your help. I need to know how to do this. I'm not an upfront kind of guy. You know that. I'm really not comfortable with a lot of upfront stuff. But we need in 2 weeks to decide how we are going to participate in this covenant Sunday, which is a time when we will ask you to make your covenants to the Lord on behalf of for the next 3 years. Now, what I need you to do, and I'm really serious about this, I would like for you to let me know. You can scribble it on your bulletin. You can write it on a visitor card. We're getting ready to change those anyway, so use them up. You can do anything to let me know. How would you prefer to make this covenant? Would you rather us establish a table here and families come and present a covenant? Would you be more comfortable if we passed a basket as we've done in the other times, like an offering? Would you like us to offer both ways to satisfy each and every person's desire to come together? I really don't care how we do it, but I do care about the passion that we have in approaching this opportunity to see just where and how far we can go. And I want us to go there together with one mind, with one heart, and one passion. I think this passion comes from the Holy Spirit's work in my heart. A passion for God and a passion for His work. There's a second sense of passion that I want to talk to you about. And that is a passion for fellowship. Which is another way of saying having a passion for each other. Listen to this quote out of a book, a fairly old book from Bruce Larson entitled Dare to Live Now. Listen to this word. You've probably heard this before. The neighborhood bar is probably the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship Christ wants to give His church. It is an imitation dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people secrets, and they usually don't tell others or want to. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put it into the human heart the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. To know and be known, to love and be loved. That's fellowship. And it's the kind of fellowship that I see it sometimes, I sense it in groups, but I have not seen this pervasive love of fellowship here. A desire for it to be here. Now I know it's hard to meet everybody's expectation. I know I have failed some of you. And I know that given enough time, perhaps I'll fail all of you. I hope not. But we failed each other, haven't we? On occasion. And I love the proverb, which doesn't discourage me, but encourages me, which says, Proverbs 19:11, it is a man's glory to overlook a transgression. When we have a passion for fellowship, when we have a passion for His church and His people, we're going to be very quick to overlook things that fall between the cracks, or balls that get dropped, or things that happen. And that's the kind of Spirit-filled pouring out that I want in my life. Real fellowship. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 tells me that we should not have any debts except one. You know what it is? It says, owe no man anything. We're not talking about financial things here. Owe no man anything except to what? Love one another. So you know what that says? You owe me. You do. And I owe you. And I should be glad and willing to pay that debt each and every time I'm called upon to do it. That would be with passion. But we've got a word. And I put this word up here before. The Greek word for passion is this. Pathos. Suffering. Feeling. Emotion. Passion. You know what you do when you take the first letter in the Greek alphabet and you put it on the front of this word? You now pronounce this word apathos. Sound familiar? Apathy. Without feeling. How many of us in this room this morning really don't have a passionate feeling for us as a congregation? And I think that you can tell a church's passionate love for each other by the way a church fellowships. So here we have two things thus far in trying to understand this concept of passion. If the Holy Spirit has been poured into my heart, and He has, the results of that would be that I would love the thing that He loves, which is His church and Him. And so when the Spirit is moving, I'm seeing people who are loving God and loving His church. And the second thing is, I'm seeing people not only loving God and loving His church, but they are loving each other. Fellowship. Thirdly and lastly, I want you to see in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the verse that we've come to claim as our missionary verse, the Great Commission, we call it. Let me remind you of this, as this is the third aspect of what I believe a passionate church should be about. He says in verse 18, "And Jesus came up and He spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Jesus gives His disciples and to us what we call our marching orders. This is the Great Commission. And it's really very specific. There are three verbal adjectives called participles, words that have ing on them. And there's one main verb. The three ing words support the main verb. And here it is. Make disciples. You could translate this as you are going, as you are baptizing, and as you are teaching. Make disciples. That's the main thrust of this verse. I've heard sermons on go. We've got to go. I've heard the whole sermon based on this word go. And it's a supportive word to the main idea of making disciples. A church with passion has as its mission disciple making, teaching, training. And this happens in a number of ways. Children learn at home from moms and dads who are believers. They get instruction as they go. Sometimes mom and dad are not believers and they don't learn the instruction of the Bible and they get it from grandparents. Now I'm already stocking up on Bible story books and I've already started even with my two little grand girls who they are old enough to look and to think and to listen and point out things, but we're already excited about taking them through that. They've got good parents. Their parents are going to teach them, but, you know, grandparents, that's what we do as well. Then you got neighbors. Sometimes the parents aren't believers, grandparents aren't believers, and you have a neighbor that comes along and says, there's a little boy or a little girl not in Sunday school or not in church. So what do? We say, well, our commission is to make disciples. Those boys and girls need Jesus. So we invite them. We bring them. We're excited when they come. And when we bring them, you teachers take them in and you love on them and you teach them and you're fulfilling this great commission. And then we've got church programs in place to do this very thing for your children and our children. This is why that we are passionate about going forward with space. Because we're out of training space. And we want to be able to do our job better. We want to make the child care here so much better. We want to make our discipleship of boys and girls better. We want to open things up for our future. And this is not going to affect my kids per se. It might affect their kids. But this is something future. But this is all about making disciples. How passionate are we about this very thing? And this is why we've entered this program, to take us along the steps of getting prepared for what our future might be. So passion? You bet. And I want to have passion. I want to have passion for God. I want to have passion for His church. And I want to have passion for you. And I want that to grow in me, and I want it to grow in you. And as a church, we could be called the passionate Hanson Baptist Church. And that would be a goal worthy of training for, don't you think? I want us to bow our heads. I want us to just have a moment of stillness. And I want to ask you, where is your passion? Is it first and foremost in God, in obeying Him, in worshiping Him, and making sure that He receives glory from what we say, what we do? Or is your passion somewhere else here? We can get sidetracked so easily. But I want us just to come back to that point of saying, and in our prayer, God, help me to find that passion. Spirit of God that's put it in my heart, help me to sense it, to feel it, to live in it once again. When that happens, we find ourselves turning from sin, not turning to sin. We find ourselves desiring each other. We find ourselves wanting to be a part of His great commission. So I want to lead us in a prayer, and I'm just going to ask you to pray that God would help you sort this thing out. Lord, we come to You today, and we know, Lord, there's so many distractions in life. There's so many things to pull us off of this focus. And Lord, that we as a church could come together and in this building time of having one mind and one heart and having this one passion for Your work. And Lord, I just pray that You'll help us. And it starts it starts right here. So I pray that You will help us. Thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank You that He indeed, Lord, continues to lead us to repentance. And He continues to teach us, to instruct us. He continues, Lord, to put a check in the things that we're thinking sometimes. And He causes us to desire Your word. Thank You for Him. And I pray that this church, that we will be an obedient, passionate, loving church. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, just as A little baby naturally desires his mother's milk. And in that passage in 1 Peter 2, Peter points out that this is not just a baby. It's a newborn baby. Immediately that baby is born, that desire is there. And when a person, when God opens the heart to believe, and when a person, boy or girl, man or woman, comes to God by faith, in repentance and trust, the Holy Spirit of God, just as God has placed in that baby a natural craving and desire, so God places that in the heart of true believers, which causes us to ask the question, if you call yourself a believer, but you do not have this desire for Him and this craving for Him, I certainly want you to search your heart. It could very well be that you've been raised in church, but without Jesus. It could very well be that you're a religious person, but you have no relationship because the Spirit of God is not really there in His rightful place. So this morning, as we sing, as we meditate, as we focus to close this service, if you're at a point willing to open your heart to receive Jesus, pray that prayer right where you are. Jesus, open my heart. I desire, Lord, for You to save me, change me. I desire to surrender to You. And in so doing, in that prayer, your heart by faith reaches heaven. And He does what He's promised to do. Then we invite you to make that step to us. Let us know this, that we can celebrate with you. As always, this invitation is open for you. If you need to pray, come and pray. If you need to come here and pray, do so. Whatever it may be, you open your heart to the Lord. This is His time. Lord, we come to You. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love and Your grace. We pray, Lord, that as a church that we are responding to Your Word and to Your Spirit's leading. And I pray, Lord, that we will see in our own hearts this change taking place. And Lord, for anyone today who is even right now opening their heart of faith to You, I pray that You will help us as a church be that discipleship place for them. I thank You for these teachers of our children. I thank You for the way they are shaping the world through teaching our sons and daughters. And I pray a special blessing to them, Lord. Thank You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.
Lord,
you so much for coming today and sharing in our day of worship. And we certainly hope that some of you will be back tonight. We're going through the prayers of the Apostle Paul, and we're going to see that from the book of Romans again tonight. Also, I have another thing. Doug, you have an announcement?
Tonight, the kids, of course, Awana's at 5:30, correct? Okay. At the beginning of Awana at 5:30 tonight, we're meeting with our kids' choir. We're going to use them. We're teaching them a new song, and they're going to be involved in our worship event on September 26th. They're going to be singing a special course and teaching us a course called He is Good. And practice for that starts tonight, right at the beginning of Awana. And you don't want your child to miss that. We're going to have a great time with them. Thank you.
Two things I need from you before you leave, if you can. Just scratch out on a little piece of paper how you would like to have the covenants collected on that covenant Sunday, on the worship event. Whether or not you would like to have something up here, something you would just like to have the plates passed, the baskets passed, or if you'd like to have both. It's going to be a very, very meaningful time where we're recommending and asking for you as a family to participate together. And so you be thinking about that. Jot it down. Let me know. I very much want to do it the way you would like for it to be done to represent us as a church. Second thing, I need a team of workers, maybe two people, maybe three. But two would be fine. That would be willing to serve us on Wednesday nights from now until December. We're going to try this trial run meal on Wednesday night. And we just need some help. We're not asking you to cook the meal. Just to be able to either get it organized, pick up the pizza, or if it's subs or whatever it might be. That we just have a team of people that if you're already doing this in another capacity, I don't want you on this team. I want somebody different. Somebody that you've not made this commitment yet, but you'd be willing to say, I can do this on Wednesday nights from now until December. And if so, you pray about it, think about it. We've got this Wednesday covered, but the next Wednesday, we need somebody in place. So let us know. And again, it's not a whole lot to do, but you just be in charge of getting that done. And let me know. Thank you for being here. Take some time as we're dismissed to love on each other. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace. Thank you for our church, our passionate church. And I pray that you'll help us respond to what we've heard today, Lord. And if there's some things, Lord, going on to rob us of this joy and passion, then reveal it to us, Lord. And may we be obedient Christians. And may we move towards you and present ourselves to be used by you. I pray, Lord, for anyone today who is opening their heart to you. And I pray that we as a church would be willing to sense that and to help that and to disciple those, Lord, for all of us, that we would be learning and growing. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.